Judges chapter 11. And we'll start reading at verse 1. Judges chapter 11, verse 1. Judges 11, verse 1, it says, "Now Jephthah, the Gileadite, was a mighty man of valor, and he was the son of a harlot. And Gilead begot Jephthah. And Gilead's wife bare him sons, and his wife's sons grew up, and they thrust out Jephthah and said unto him, Thou shalt not inherit in our father's house, for thou art the son of a strange woman. Then Jephthah fled from his brethren and dwelt in the land of Tob. And there were gathered vain men to Jephthah and went out with him. And it came to pass in process of time that the children of Ammon made war against Israel. And it was so that when the children of Ammon made war against Israel, the elders of Gilead went to fetch Jephthah out of the land of Tob. And they said unto Jephthah, Come and be our captain, that we may fight with that we may fight with the children of Ammon. And Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, Did not ye hate me and expel me out of my father's house? And why are ye come unto me now when ye are in distress? And the elders of Gilead said unto Jephthah, Therefore we turn again to thee now, that thou mayest go with us and fight against the children of Ammon, and be our head over all the inhabitants of Gilead. And Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, If ye bring me home again to fight against the children of Ammon, and the Lord deliver them before me, shall I be your head? And the elders of Gilead said unto Jephthah, The Lord be witness between us, if we do not so according to thy words. Then Jephthah went with the elders of Gilead, and the people made him head and captain over them. And Jephthah uttered all his words before the Lord in Mizpah. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning, Lord, for your word that we can study. Lord, we thank you that you got us all here safely tonight, Lord. The roads are pretty slick out there. And Lord, we do pray that we'll make it home safely tonight as well. But Lord, while we're here tonight, Lord, I ask that you speak to each one of our hearts, Lord, as we look at these scriptures, these verses. And Lord, we know that all the Bible has something for us. And Lord, I just pray that we'll learn from these words tonight. I pray that you'll speak to us through these words. And again, Lord, we're thankful that you take the time to even have conversation with sinners like we are, Lord, and people who don't deserve anything from you. But Lord, because of your love and your grace, Lord, you give so much to us. And Lord, I just pray tonight that you'll help us grow by the scriptures that we're going to be reading. And Lord, help us to grow in grace and knowledge by it. And help us to glorify you tonight. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, when we look here at the book of Judges, we have learned so far in the book of Judges that the book of Judges covers a period of Israel's history between the death of Joshua and the appointment of Saul as their first official king. And what we see in this book is really a scene of lawlessness overall. Israel would abandon the Lord for false gods. God would punish them because of their sins, allowing the enemies to defeat them and enslave them. And after a time of enemy oppression, Israel would repent, turn back to God, and put away the idols, and God would raise up a judge to deliver them, and then they would be set free from their enemies, and then the cycle would repeat all over again. And again, we've seen this over and over. And even just in the first few chapters that we've been studying, the first 10 chapters, we've seen this same cycle going on over and over and over. And so the spiritual climate really in Israel during those days is summed up by the last verse that you see in the book of Judges. And that verse says this. It says, In those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. That pretty much sums up the entire book. That's pretty much what was going on. And what's so discouraging about this book is that there's ample evidence that we humans do not learn from our lessons very well. We just don't learn from them. And certainly Israel never learned from them. And as Christians, we don't either. I think by the end of the sermon tonight, you're going to notice that a lot of things that Israel did, we're guilty of doing the same thing. But yet we're so hard on them, and we think, boy, you know, they had it right, and all I had to do is obey God. Well, that's all we have to do too. But we have the same problem that they did. And so sometimes that can be a little bit discouraging for people when we start to figure out that we're just sinners and we mess up. Amen. And we read a book of Judges and we think that it's all about Israel, but it shows a lot of truths in our own lives as well. But there is a positive side of this book, and that is the fact that God never completely forsook his people. I mean, if you think about it, yes, They messed up, and when they did, the Lord would chasten Israel, and he'd allow them to be enslaved or put in bondage by the Gentiles. But then every time that they repented and got right, the Lord never did give up on Israel. I mean, he was always there. And when they repented and got right, he forgave them. You know what that tells me? It tells me God's not going to give up on us either. Amen? I mean, he's never going to give up on us, and we're going to mess up from time to time. And that's certainly not a reason for us to live like the devil, but we are going to mess up from time to time. But we don't have to worry about the Lord ever giving up on us. And so we know the Lord would never forsake us. He's never forsaken his children. Now, while the time of the book of Judges is pretty much the dark days of Israel, a few people do stand out as bright lights whenever you read the book of Judges. And one of those lights is a man before us in our text tonight. In this passage, we're introduced to a man named Jephthah. And what the Word of God teaches us about this man should serve as an encouragement to every person in this room. Jephthah walked through some very hard times in his life, yet he overcame these obstacles that were put before him, and he accomplished many great things for the Lord. He was a man who was rejected by his family. He was a man who was an outcast of society. He was a man who was written off by just about everybody who should have been caring about him, but instead they wrote him off. And yet in the end, Jephthah became the leader of his people. Now, Jephthah is not an altogether good example. I mean, if you look at the story of Jephthah, not all everything is perfect. Because as you can see here, he was chosen to lead the people by the people, not by God. Okay, God did not call him to be a judge. The people called him to lead. Israel would repeat the same mistake years later when they chose Saul to be their king. But Jephthah was, even though he wasn't the Lord's choice to be a judge in Israel, the Lord allowed him to lead the people and to lead the people to victory, and God did use him to lead the people to victory. So whether or not he's technically called a judge or not, it was God's will for him to be there. And it was God's will for him to get the victory for Israel, okay? And so that's something we need to understand, that God had a plan for Jephthah. And even though maybe those people then couldn't see it, and even maybe people who read their Bible today can't really see the plan, but God did have a plan. And so I want you to notice first off tonight is Jephthah's character, the character of this man by the name of Jephthah. Notice in verse 1 it says, "Now Jephthah the Gileadite was a mighty man of valor." A mighty man of valor. By this we know that Jephthah was a very courageous and powerful man. Whenever you read about the mighty men of valor, usually you think about those who followed King David around, because King David had his mighty men of valor. In fact, you actually see those people that were listed as the mighty men of valor. Uriah the Hittite was one of those. If you remember, that's the one that David had put to death. He was one of the mighty men of valor. And so that's what we think of, courageous men, powerful man. That's the kind of man that Jephthah was. He was the kind of man who did what needed to be done in every situation he faced. He was the type of person that wouldn't back down. He was a person that you would want to be watching your back in a battle if he was a mighty man of valor. And he was the kind of man that you would look to for leadership. Certainly he's the type of person that you would look at if you needed somebody to lead you in battle against the enemy. That's exactly what his brethren, the elders there, the Gileadites, wanted. They saw that he was a leader. He saw that he was a mighty man of valor. Notice also in verse 1, it says, "Now Jephthah the Gileadite was a mighty man of valor, and he was the son of a harlot." Now, that's a problem, because obviously Jephthah's father, Gilead, had made some mistakes in his life. And this mistake had a very negative effect on his son Jephthah, because it marked him as an illegitimate son of Gilead. Now, just like everyone in this room, Jephthah had marks that in his plus column in life, and he had some marks in the negative column in his life. He had areas in his life that were extraordinary, while other parts of his life were problematic. That's everybody in this room. We are strong in some areas, we're good in some areas, we shine in some areas, but there are some areas where we don't shine very good, you know, where we're not very strong. And we're all in the same boat when it comes to that. But most of us, we don't brag about our abilities, yet at the same time, we don't go at length to try to conceal our problems either. And this is just reminds us that we are all human. We're all human and we make mistakes. But as long as we live in this world, we are going to remain less than perfect. No matter how far the ladder you climb spiritually, folks, at the end of the day, you're still a sinner. And you're still in need of a Savior. Okay? And so that's the reason the Bible says we aren't not to think too highly of ourselves. Now, I want you to look here at what happens in verse 2. It says Gilead's wife bare him sons, and his wife's sons grew up, and they thrust out Jephthah and said unto him, Thou shalt not inherit in our father's house, for thou art the son of a strange woman. Jephthah's father also had children with his wife. And when these children reached maturity, they all turned against Jephthah and forced him out of the family home, probably because they didn't want to share their inheritance with Jephthah. I mean, of course, with Jephthah out of the way, there's more money to go around, so they probably thought that. Besides that, Jephthah's presence in the family was a constant reminder of their father's infidelity. They probably hated Jephthah all their lives. They may have even envied him because he was strong and able and an efficient man. He was probably everything that they were not, and they turned on him. Now, Jephthah paid the price for the sins of his father, and he lived with the stigma of his father's sins his whole life. But that didn't, you know, he never did stoop down to the level of his father, and he never stooped down to the level of his brethren. Jephthah became a better man than the other people in his family. Now, if you think about it, that's a valuable lesson for all of us, and that is the traits of your parents, you know, sometimes they show up in our lives. In other words, what I'm saying is this, is if you're raised a certain way, if your parents are a certain way, there's a good chance that you might have some of those traits too, because that's what you're taught in the home. If your parents are loud, then you might be loud. If your parents, if they constantly do something wrong and you see them, there's a good chance that you grow up and you might do those things wrong. You know, children often develop attitudes even that are similar to their parents. They develop ways of living that are like their parents, and they have prejudices of likes and dislikes that were built into them by their parents. And the fact is, a lot of us, what we do is generational. But we, you know, we may not like it, but you know, we carry the influence of our family with us pretty much all the days of our lives. If your mother was hateful, there's a good chance that you might have a tendency to be hateful as well. If your father was a drunk, then there's a possibility you'll grow up and be a drunk as well. If you grew up hearing children being criticized and grew up with negativity, you may have you may grow up and be negative about things too. If you grew up in an abusive home, you might have that kind of mindset as well. However, folks, you can always break the cycle. Yes, you were taught certain things and you saw certain things growing up, but that doesn't mean you have to be like that. You know, I hear people saying, well, you know, I've got a horrible temper. It's because I'm Irish. Oh, get off of it. That's ridiculous. The Lord can give you victory over anything. You don't have to have it and say, well, it's the way I was brought up. No, listen, when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, you're not going to be able to look at the Lord and say, well, that's the way I was brought up. No, listen, if you count on the Lord can change you. In fact, he means to change you in the image of Christ. He wants you to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and become more like Christ every day. And he can give you the victory over anything that you've been taught in life. What I'm trying to say is this, is if your dad was a drunk when you grew up, you don't have to be a drunk. You don't have to be. Listen, we all make our own choices. And we're all going to be responsible for those choices. And you won't be able to blame somebody else when you stand before the judgment seat. You won't be able to blame. You won't be able to put the blame on anybody. It's your choice. Listen, as Christians, you have the power to overcome anything, and that power is God. God will give you the power to overcome those things. And so you have an opportunity to change, and there's power and grace and help in the Lord, and we can rest assured that he will work to change us from the inside. One of the biggest mistakes I think that we make in this country today is we like to blame our shortcomings and our decisions on our upbringing. That's what we do. We're all responsible for the decisions we make. We're all responsible for the actions and attitudes that we have. And to claim that you are the way that you were raised to be will hold no water when you stand before the Lord one of these days. Now, the family of Jephthah had turned against him. But then again, there were others mentioned in Scripture who suffered the same kind of family rejection, if you think about it. I mean, if you ever think about David, I mean, here David was. He was out there tending his father's sheep. When Samuel came to Jesse's house to anoint one of the sons of the kings of Israel, they didn't even think enough about David to even call him to appear before the prophet. I mean, think about that. They said, let's have all of Jesse's sons show up. And all of them did except for David. How come they didn't have David there? You know, does it seem like maybe he was kind of the reject? The guy of the day, well, yeah, but that's just David. That, you know, he's just out there. I mean, here are the real sons. That's kind of the way you look at it. Jesus experienced it as well. His half-brothers mocked him and mocked his claims of being the Messiah. They doubted him, and none of them believed until after his death and resurrection. That's the way it was. So, you know, your earthly family may turn against you, but if you're saved, you're members of a new family. You've got, listen, you've got a spiritual family. You've got a church family. You've got Christians as your family. And your heavenly Father will never, ever turn you away. Look at verse 3. It says, then Jephthah fled from his brethren and dwelt in the land of Tob. And there were gathered vain men to Jephthah and went out with him. Here we're told that these vain men gathered themselves with Jephthah. They were people that were outcast as well. And they all gathered with him. And you know, we do not know why they flocked to Jephthah, but it may be that in him they saw a leader. But it seems that Jephthah was able to mold these misfits into an effective fighting force. I mean, after all, he was a mighty man of valor, and these people came over to have him lead them in battle. So obviously he was doing something that got their attention to think that he was good in battle and he was able to lead. Jephthah took something that was negative and he turned it into something that was positive. He could have taken this rejection of his brothers to heart. He could have chosen to have self-pity and think he'd never amount to anything. But instead, he rose above the challenge of life and made something of himself. You know, sometimes it may look like life is against us. But if you have faith in the Lord and know that even the worst circumstances are a part of his plan to get you where he wants you to be. And whether you see it or not, or whether you believe it or not, all the days of your life have been structured by the Lord to make you into the person that he wants you to be. That's the reason the Bible says in Psalm 37:23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. And may I say that God delights in using the unusable. He delights in using the unusable. He used Jephthah, a man that everybody else saw as an outcast. Now, if you'll notice here in this passage that it does seem that birds of a feather do flock together, because it says all the vain men joined up with him. In other words, they had the same sort of problems that he had. They were outcasts the same as he was. And these people, they came to Jephthah. In other words, the people who were like Jephthah came to Jephthah. And that principle is this. You know, people tend to gravitate to those who reflect what is in their own hearts. Look at the people that you talk to. Look at the people that you like. We usually see people who are just like us. Look at the people you spend your time with. Do you realize that they reveal the type of person that you are? The people that you want to spend time with reveals the type of person that you are. Now, I'm just going to tell you, think about this. That Bible says that as Christians, we are to separate ourselves from unbelievers, and we are to separate ourselves from the things of this world, and we are not to have fellowship with this world. But if you have Christians who like to hang around unsaved people, would you agree that that's probably saying there's something wrong in the heart there? Why? You should want to hang around people that have the same likes that you want, the same likes that you have. But if you're hanging around lost people, they don't have the same likes that you have. They don't have anything the same as you have. But yet there are some Christians today who hang around lost people, and they have fellowship with lost people, and they spend all their time with lost people. That shows there's something wrong in the heart there. And because the people that you hang around usually shows what's in your heart. If someone is discontented, they'll gravitate towards other people who are discontented. How many of you ever heard the saying, misery loves company? You know, that's true. I mean, if you have a person that in church that's murmuring and bad-mouthing and you know, backbiting and all those things, you know, it won't be long till another one come over there and start joining them. Why? Misery loves company. And they want to hang around somebody that's going through the same thing as them. So if there's a person discontented, then the next thing you know, then the discontents will hang around them. But at the same time, one who has a true heart for the things of God will gravitate towards those who are seeking God as well. We need to consider the type of people that we spend our time with. Now, we see Jephthah's character here. But then the next thing I want you to notice here is the request that was given. Jephthah's living his life of exile, and then all of a sudden his own people came looking for him. And they came to him with this astonishing request. Look at verse 4. It says, and it came to pass in the process of time that the children of Ammon made war against Israel. And it was so that when the children of Ammon made war against Israel, the elders of Gilead went to fetch Jephthah out of the land of Tob. And they said unto Jephthah, come and be our captain, that we may fight with the children of Ammon. So Israel here, they're under attack, and they do not have a strong leader to guide them to victory over their enemies. It looks as if they're going to be defeated in battle. So the elders come over, elders of the people come to Jephthah, and they request Jephthah for them to come back and be their captain. At one point, they asked him to leave. But now they come to him and ask him to lead them. Well, you know, you say, boy, that sure is a change of mind there. I mean, that's a big difference. Before they said, listen, we don't want you here. We want you gone. We don't want you around. I mean, you're the son of a harlot. Get out of here. And the next thing you know, when something goes bad, well, then they come back and say, hey, we really want you to come back and fight for us. We want you to be our captain. You know, I will say this teaches one thing, that we always got to be ready to serve. You realize the Lord could call you any time to serve in a different way, and any time the Lord could call you to do something for Him. And we need to be ready for that. We always need to be ready for that. We need to be ready to say yes when the Lord calls us to serve in a different way. You say, well, what am I supposed to do until that happens? You're just supposed to be, just keep on serving where you're at. And when the Lord's ready to call you in His own time, then He'll call you to do whatever else He wants you to do. And we always need to remember that it's God's responsibility to open up the doors of opportunity, but it's our responsibility to grow right where we're planted and trust the Lord when, where, and how He calls us to do something else. And if we'll make our hearts available to Him, He will give us plenty of opportunities to serve in His work. If we'll just serve Him faithfully today, He'll take care of our tomorrows. But I want you to look at verse 7. And Jephthah said unto his elders of Gilead, did not ye hate me and expel me out of my father's house? And why are ye come unto me now when ye are in distress? Jephthah recounts his past attitude towards them. And he reminds them that they were the ones who asked him to leave to begin with. And now they come back to him and want him to be their ruler. Look at verse 8. And the elders of Gilead said unto Jephthah, therefore we turn again to thee now, that thou mayest go with us and fight against the children of Ammon and be our head over all the inhabitants of Gilead. They wanted Jephthah to come back and take over. They wanted him to come back and be their boss. He wanted him to come back and have control over their lives. Now, there's no doubt that the way they treated Jephthah was sad and it was unfair when they asked him to leave. No doubt about it. I mean, as long as things were going good, they had no need for Jephthah. You know, when I was reading this passage, the first thing I thought of is us. You ever think about the way that they treated Jephthah is the way we treat the Lord? I mean, honestly, if you think about it. You see, when things were going good, they said, Jephthah, we don't want you here. We want you out. You know, listen, it's not just Christians. It's the way this country treats God. Did you ever notice that when they wanted him out of the schools, they wanted him out of the courts, they wanted him out of that, until 9/11 happened. And then all of a sudden, you keep on seeing things, in God we trust. Well, isn't that something? How come those signs weren't up before 9/11? You see, that's the way people are. That's the way Christians are too. Christians get this idea that we don't need God in our lives. We don't need you. Get out of here. And then all of a sudden things start getting tough. All of a sudden you start to lose battles. All of a sudden things start to go wrong. And then all of a sudden you say, Lord, come back. Be my captain. Lord, come back and be our head. There are families today that they didn't want God in their families. They wouldn't pray as a family. They wouldn't believe. They wouldn't go to church together as a family. Then all of a sudden the family starts having problems. You know what they said? Lord, come back and be the head of my family. He should have been ahead of your family the entire time. But see, the problem is people, they want him gone until things start to go wrong. That's the same thing happened here. Same thing happened here. They refused to have Jephthah lead over them. They refused to have Jephthah even living with them until things went wrong. That's the way it is with us today as we treat the Lord. You know, there are people today that refuse to be faithful. They refuse to serve him. They refuse to honor his word. They refuse to, they treat him like an unwanted intruder in their lives. They treat him like a spare tire and basically tell him to keep quiet, stay in a trunk. But you better be ready now, we have a flat. That's the way we treat him. How do you suppose that Jephthah reacted when these people came to him and asked him to come back? I'll tell you this, I know how I would have reacted. Here's the way I'd reacted. You want me to do what? You threw me out. Go fight your own battles. Now, that's the way I would have probably done it. And you say, well, that's not very Christian-like, pastor. That's probably the way you'd do it, too. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, somebody kicks you out of the house, kicks you out of your own country, said, we don't even want you living around here. Go away. And all of a sudden, they crawl back when things are going bad. Most everybody I know would say, well, maybe I'll come back. We'll see how bad you get beaten. If you get beat too bad, then maybe I'll come back. That's pretty much the way you think. But that's not what Jephthah did. Look, if you would, at verse 9. His response is just amazing here. And Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, if ye bring me home again to fight against the children of Ammon, and the Lord deliver them before me, shall I be your head? And the elders of Gilead said unto Jephthah, the Lord be witness between us, if we do not according to thy words. Then Jephthah went with the elders of Gilead. I can just imagine Christians today saying, Lord, if you'll just deliver me from what's going on, I'll serve you better, Lord. I'll come to church more, Lord. I'll read my Bible more, Lord. You need to realize you're responsible for the vows you make to God. You're responsible for those. And God's going to hold you responsible for them. But here, after confirming that the offer was valid, Jephthah consents to go with them. And then he leads them to victory. Notice that his treatment to them is vastly different from their treatment of him. Even though they had abused him and treated him like dirt, Jephthah was not bitter. He was able to get over the things that they did to him. He was able to see past their mean-spirited actions. And he caught a glimpse of the hand of God working in his life. It was very clear that Jephthah was a man who honored the Lord with his life. He might have been in exile from Israel, but he was never in exile from God. And unlike his relatives, he proved his commitment to the Lord by the way he treated others. Listen, folks, the way other people treat you, you do not have to treat them the same way. If other people reject you, you don't have to reject them. If other people are mean to you, you don't have to be mean back to them. You say, well, Pastor, just a while ago you said you wouldn't go back there. Yes, that's because I'm human and I have a sin nature. But the truth of the matter is this, is you don't have to be back to them the way they are to you. You don't have to do that. You know who you're supposed to glorify in everything you do? The Lord. And I'm just going to tell you this. How many times have you messed up and where you got to the point where you were basically ignoring the Lord, not thinking too much about him, and then all of a sudden things started to go bad, and all of a sudden you said, Lord, I'm going to rededicate my life to you. Did the Lord ever not come back and help you out? He's always there, folks. Every time you mess up, every time that you break fellowship with him, has there ever been a time that you ever broke fellowship with the Lord and all of a sudden you got right that fellowship was not restored? He's always restored that fellowship. Amen? Always. He's faithful to do that. Well, that's because the Lord is not like us. I mean, if you think about how many times that we've done the Lord wrong, but he always has said, if you'll just repent, I'm faithful and just. I'll wash away your sins and fellowship can be restored. And I think about how many times in our lives that's had to happen. Over and over and over and over. A whole lot like just the book of Judges. Over and over and over. And in the book of Judges, each time that they repented, each time he came back and he gave them the victory. You know, each time you've repented, each time he's come back and he's given you the victory and he's given you fellowship. Aren't you glad the Lord isn't like us? I mean, I was reading there about Jephthah and I'm thinking to myself, I just don't think I could do what Jephthah did. I'm sure glad that the Lord did what Jephthah did. I'm sure glad that when it comes to my life that the Lord did what Jephthah did. Because I tell you something, I've treated the Lord worse since I've been saved than the way Jephthah was treated here. But the Lord has always been faithful to me and he's always been faithful to you too. And it doesn't matter how people treat you, you don't have to be like those people. And whether we accept it or not, how we treat others is a direct reflection of the place that God holds in our lives. If we can spitefully mistreat and attack those who are made in God's image and bought by the blood of his son, that doesn't say much about our opinion of God, if we can do that. But when we love him like we should, we will love others like we should. That's the reason 1 John chapter 3, verses 14 through 16 says, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God. So we're told here that people honored their word, and they elevated Jephthah, and they made them their ruler, and he became their captain. Look at verse 11 again. Then Jephthah went with the elders of Gilead, and the people made him head and captain over them. And Jephthah uttered all his words before the Lord in Mizpah. Now, if you'll write in your margin here that Mizpah over in Genesis chapter 31, verses 33 through 55, you'll find it's also the place where Jacob and Laban made an agreement that they would not attack each other. And it was here that they called upon the Lord to witness that covenant. And that's what Jephthah's doing here. He's calling on the Lord to look upon the promises made by his people. He's calling on the Lord to watch over him as he goes out to battle. He's acknowledging the Lord and looking to him for the help that he needs to win the victory. And if you look back at verse 9, you see that Jephthah knows that any victory they might ever enjoy would only come from the Lord. And it'll do us well to remember that any victories that we might enjoy in this life will be our victories only if the Lord delights in us. Victory does not come from us or our efforts or our abilities. Victory always comes from the Lord and from a relationship that's centered around him and him alone. It pays to acknowledge God in everything. It pays to call on him and look to him and trust him for the victories we seek in life. And Jephthah, if you think about it, is one of the most unlikely people in that Bible that you would think that God would ever use, but God gave him the victory. And Jephthah never let his past become an obstacle. And this story shows us that anybody can be used of God, regardless of their past or their family or their failures. It shows us that we don't have to continue on the way we were raised. We can be different. We can be better. We can get the victory over those things. And this story also shows us that who we hang around and how we treat others reveals how we really feel about God. And this story shows us that we should serve God faithfully today and trust him with all of our tomorrows. Are you doing that tonight? Are you treating other people right? Are you treating the Lord right? Are you hanging around the right crowd? Are you serving God faithfully, trusting that he'll open up the opportunities for you in the future to serve him more? Are you doing those things tonight? And are you in fellowship with the Lord tonight? Or have you kind of pushed him out of your life? May I tell you something, folks? You need him every single day. You need to be in fellowship with him every single day. Don't wait until the enemy attacks and then say, Lord, I need you. If you got the Lord, you already got the victory over the enemy. You need to stay in fellowship with him all the time. Are you in fellowship with him tonight? Let's stand.